This can't all be true.
Every word.
Just another movie night.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night, and I am Scott, and Joe is here with me. Do you accept this mission, Joe? Podcasting mission?
I do accept it. Is this microphone going to self-destruct, though?
I mean, it could. I always love that it sizzles and he just sits there in the smoke.
What if there's an actual bomb in it?
I know. I always wondered about that, which used to happen on Spectre Gadget. It used to blow the chief up all the time.
Yeah. Ethan Hunt doesn't give a crap.
He doesn't give a shit. Yeah, that's what we're seeing tonight. This is before and after reviews where we go see a brand new movie in the theater and give our thoughts, our raw thoughts before and after. Spoiler free if we can.
Yep.
Usually.
Raw thoughts. How we feel coming right out of the gate.
Raw dogging it.
Raw dog.
We just come right out.
Mission Impossible, The Last Reckoning? Is that what it is?
Final Reckoning.
Oh, The Final Reckoning.
Yes.
Is it ever the final anything?
I mean, of course, there's always going to be that question. Is that the real thing? Is it going to be the final? Probably not.
No.
I will say, it's 8 movies in, and we got to talk about this. This franchise has been pretty incredible. I mean, when you think of franchises of movies, they usually get worse.
Yeah.
This is one of the rare franchises that have gotten better.
It seems like they started out and they realized where their mistakes were made, and then they corrected them as we went along.
Yeah, I think a lot of that has to do with Tom Cruise himself. He seems to be very hands-on with the whole franchise in general. I'm really caring about it, putting all into it. I mean, he learned how to produce. He learned everything about filmmaking just so he can start making his own movies. And I think it's pretty incredible. What's even more incredible is that he goes out and celebrates other filmmakers as much as he can. And he goes and watches everybody's stuff and gets the talent that he sees in those things that he says, I want to work with that guy and he or woman, and he puts them in his films. And that's really incredible. I think this whole franchise is a great testament to filmmaking.
Yeah.
In general.
Yeah, I agree with that. We actually started rewatching these from start to what did we get to? Number 6?
So I got to number 6.
Last night it was a snoozer for me because I was really super tired. I made it through halfway of the movie, but these movies are pretty long.
They're big films. There's no doubt in that. And it's like a lot of the time you don't even need to do that in a movie, but he does it. You know, they go out of the way to do huge spectacle things. Mm-hmm. And not once, but multiple times each film.
Yeah, and I'm just wondering, what the heck is he going to do this time? I mean, is he going to shoot himself into outer space and then just free fall back to Earth?
There has been no space. I'm shocked about the space jump hasn't been done.
You know, Fast and the Furious did it. You know, Leprechaun even went to space. I mean, everyone goes to space. I mean, why can't Ethan Hunt go to space and then just, you know, shoot himself out the rocket?
James Bond did go to space. You're absolutely right. And that seems to be a competition with this franchise. James Bond. So James Bond did go to space. So that's pretty funny, actually. I mean, if you tell Tom Cruise, hey, you can free jump, you know, a base jump from space,
He
would do it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm surprised he hasn't done it.
Completely fearless. I want to see this movie simply because, I like the franchise, but also because I'm so curious to see what silly, outrageous, bonkers thing he's going to do. I mean, he puts his life in jeopardy every time. I mean, just that scaling down that building, it got me nauseous looking at it.
Oh, it's incredible. When he's
running down it, I was like, nope.
It's the rare franchise I feel like you have to see in the theater, because I feel like these are made for the big screen and that huge the surround sound and an audience. And I think I really enjoy going to see these movies. Like, I want to see him do what he does on the big screen. You know, I really love that. I same thing with Maverick. You know, I know there's a lot of controversy because they say, oh, no special effects. They did these effects, you know, like mm-hmm. they did all these practical effects. But the problem is that isn't exactly true because they use some to erase ropes and tethers and stuff like that. And I would say that, yes, of course, he's not going to die. They're going to try to make it as safe for him as possible, although it is still insanely dangerous.
Oh my God. Just the underwater thing that he did in the last movie. I couldn't sit still. I can't watch this. He's going to drown under there.
Holding on to a taking off plane. He got hit by a pebble, which he said was the most excruciating pain. He thought that he might have a hole in him when he got back down, and then realized that it was only embedded in his jacket. It was like a bullet hitting him.
Oh my God.
He said it was a tiny little pebble. He couldn't believe how small it was.
That last one that he did with the jump with the motorcycle off the...
Yeah.
I mean, what would possess a human to want to... That's just crazy. He's not a young man either. Oh,
and I love that he keeps saying, no, I'm going to do this as long as I can.
He said he's going to do it till he's 100.
Yeah.
I believe him. Although the stunts can't get any more extreme, though, Tom. You got to sit your ass down.
I know. Sooner or later. I mean, he's had a lot of wounds. I mean, but then again, if we look at Jackie Chan, we expect it of him, right?
True. I mean, Jackie Chan, he's been messed up, that guy.
I mean, like, I think when Jackie Chan was getting successful in America, was he not the age of Tom Cruise now? I don't know how old Jackie Chan is now.
I don't know. I think Jackie Chan's well into his 60s.
I think it was way later than that.
No, I don't know. He's got to be at least well into his 60s, I think.
Interesting.
I mean, because...
I'd have to look this up.
Ralph Macchio is also, what, 60 or something?
How old is Tom Cruise?
Tom Cruise is like, I want to say 63, maybe? I don't know. Jackie Chan is older. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have my phone, but I got to say, like, he's getting up there. He needs to settle down.
I would be shocked if I find out the opposite of all this, but...
I don't know. We'll have to look it up.
I'm just going to say that... rewatching this franchise, we've noticed, like, there's pros and cons, without a doubt. And I think that the easy thing to say the pros are is that what makes this franchise stand out among, like, above other action franchises is just how willing it is to go and do big things and also make its character get hurt. I think that's one of my favorite things about this franchise is that he doesn't seem like your typical action hero these days where, you know, he gets hurt and he does things. Although it's an incredibly insane premise and thing, it still feels grounded.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
think that's a huge
bonus. Like, in all these movies, though, like, you know, he does ridiculous things and he comes out on top. I mean, the last one, though, he did die. You know, Rebecca Ferguson brought him back to life.
That's not the first time. The third one, too.
Oh, yeah. The third one. But, you know, I feel like these films are more exciting. And I know I'm probably gonna get shit for this, but whatever. Than the James Bond franchise, like, in the 80s. Because the James Bond movies were kind of, I mean, is that right? Like, Roger Moore and Timothy Dalton and Pierce Brosnan, I mean, it didn't rock my world, you know? It's like, all right, there's some action, but not enough to make me go, oh,
okay.
It was all right.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the movies were flat out just boring to me.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem here, right? Like, I get the different franchises, and this franchise heavily is influenced from James Bond because James Bond is, like, the gold standard of action franchises. Like, everybody wants to copy it.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think where James Bond, you know, walked, it let everybody else run. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, of course. I'm not saying anything bad about James Bond franchise. I just like this franchise more. It's just a little more exciting to me.
I'm going to agree with you, and I think that's one of the shocking things. I grew up a huge Roger Moore fan. I know, and it's an odd one because you're supposed to be Sean Connery all the way, but I've had a hard time watching a lot of those films. I think they're good films, but I never was, like, in love with them. Yeah. And I was watching Roger Moore, and I think there was a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek to him that mm-hmm. was really entertaining for me.
Yeah.
And as the franchise got it got a little more and more, like, wacky to a degree that I just felt like, I don't think this is my thing until Casino Royale.
Well, and Daniel then
I
was Craig. Like,
now I'm on board because I still think that Casino Royale is the best one.
I think Casino Royale is really great. But I will say that what was the one he got blown up and the crypt blew up and he literally killed him but didn't. I was like, I'm out on this. And then he's like driving on the side of the wall. You know, I'm like, I can't do this anymore. I can't do it anymore.
Yeah, it's just something about it didn't work for me. It's we have this problem with John Wick. We have this problem with Fast and the Furious. People adore them and that's great. Everybody should enjoy the thing that makes you happy. But for me, I don't know. I like a little bit of a grounded hero that feels like a guy, like a real person. Although Ethan Hunt is like a superhero in the fact that he survives everything he does is. And does everything.
Yeah.
I love that there's scenes where he just gets his ass kicked and mm-hmm. he only survives that Jackie Chan style by using something around the room.
Right.
And I feel I kind of connect to that character more. And he also has a team of characters who have heart and people like him for a reason. I think
you mean Ethan.
Yes.
But like, okay, but here's his team too. Thing about that, the team is like, why are the ladies always disappearing?
Well, that's
like,
a whole nother con to it.
It's annoying. It's like Maggie Q, okay, one movie she's out. And then we had Rebecca Ferguson for one and a half movies.
No, she's in three.
She's in part three?
She's in the last one.
Last one. Okay. And then what else? Paula Patton disappeared.
Yeah.
Didn't have her.
Tandy Newton. Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Those actresses all were asked back, but couldn't. And you move on. And you rewrite characters and you make new characters. And unfortunately, some of these characters haven't. But these last two movies are bringing people back from the last one. So they did call the last one part one. And they scrapped that title because that movie didn't do good, which blew my mind because I think that's my favorite one of the franchise.
Oh, me too. Yeah.
Which is funny because I know this is controversial, but Fallout, which is a big fan favorite, it didn't connect to me as well as the last one did and Rogue Nation.
Mm-hmm.
I think those two movies are my top-notch favorite ones of these franchise, and they're so later in.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that has to do with the new director who's taken over the last five films, or I think four, maybe five, Christopher McQuarrie, mm-hmm. who's directing this one and directed the last one. They spent a lot of time on these movies.
Mm-hmm.
I think he stepped in and really got an idea that I think just finally connected with Tom Cruise, and they really like bounce off each other well.
Yeah.
So I think that's amazing. Now, here's my problem. I don't know if this one will live up to how much I enjoyed the last one.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned. I don't want my girl to die in this one.
Which one is that? Haley Atwell?
Yeah.
I mean, Haley Atwell, I don't know how much these characters are going to have moments in this because Palm and Haley Atwell both were in the last one.
Yeah.
It kind of set up that they might be new agents. And I thought they were going to get their own thing.
I hope so.
Now they're back in this. I'm like, oh, they could end it. I don't know. They are acting like this is over. And I get it because you kind of get to a point where you're like, oh, are people, fans aren't seeing it as much as we thought they would. Like, he does these things that are really expensive. They spent a lot of money on these movies. And since a lot of people didn't go see the last one, I think they are realizing that we maybe need to end it. People are getting bored of it.
Yeah.
And I think that's a shame because it is a really good franchise that I think only one film we both agree with is...
It's trash, the second one.
One is below a five for us.
One is all right. Going back and watching it now, we're like,
eh. I didn't even like it when it first came out. And I'm a big director, Brian De Palma.
Brian De Palma.
I cannot believe that movie didn't connect with me at all. But the second one is trash, and it's the only one.
Yeah.
Every other one has been really good, sevens,
it's like
across
when
the board.
Tom Cruise grows his hair long, he makes a bad movie.
Yeah.
Well, except for Magnolia.
Yeah, I know. That's funny that he went from Magnolia with Philip Seymour Hoffman right to James Bond as him as the villain and him the hero. Yeah. I think that's really funny. I think we both agree that we have high hopes, but we think we'll probably not come out with as high as the last one.
I don't know, man. I'm tired. So I hope that this keeps me awake because this is a 2-hour, 49-minute movie. I'm going to need like an extra, extra large bucket of popcorn. And hopefully there's a lot of action and, you know, hopefully Haley makes it out alive. She's my girl. I'll be upset.
I'm sure she probably won't be in it as much as you think she will.
I hate when you say shit like that. It upsets me.
I don't. There's like 50 new characters in this franchise. Care. Like, yeah. Well,
I want to see Haley.
Okay.
Call Tom Cruise, damn it.
Well, let's go check this movie out.
CIA Black Vault break-in.
Am I reading this correctly? The Kremlin bombing?
In fairness, the bomb was actually meant to kill him.
He gassed a security briefing.
That was just 2 months ago.
This explains the handcuffs. It's still not clear why he's here.
If we want to bring the world back from the brink, we have to deal with him.
Should he choose to accept?
Smart people on every side are close to panicking.
What exactly is your plan?
Your team has been betrayed, Ethan. All your secrets compromised.
Everything you are. Everything you've done. Has come to this.
You gave him an aircraft carrier?
Our lives. Are the sum of our choices. This is your calling. Your destiny. I have no regrets. Neither should you.
I need you to trust me. One last time.
And we're back. And I got to say something right out of the gate. What a fun movie.
It was definitely fun, yes.
Yeah, so 2 hours and 49 minutes. And I would say it was an easy swallow. I didn't really feel it in the sense that I was like, oh, it's dragging.
No, I never once got the sense that it was dragging, but I do feel that plot-wise, they could have trimmed 20 minutes of the fat.
So yeah, let's get some cons out of the way real quick, because I think the cons are easier to get through than the positives, because the cons are smaller than the positives are so huge. Okay. So the cons are, without a doubt, the first opening half of this. Now, the franchise has always been really good at having these big opening moments. This movie has a lot going on and they feel like they have to recap everything. The problem with that is that the rest of the movie will constantly recap itself, and I think that is a drag that could have definitely cut out a good 25 minutes of this film.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I do believe that they could have cut out some of the flashbacks or whatever. However, this is a 30-year franchise. And I feel like some of us who, well, we rewatched them. But some people that don't have, you know, going in, don't have the memory of what the first one was and all that. You know, I'm glad they kind of did that for them.
Okay, so when I say that, what I think is important to point out is that there are multiple re-explaining itself. Yeah. And so not only do we get an opening montage of the last 30 years, we also get numerous, in last movie, and then this and that, and then characters will explain something else in the franchise, and we get to see more of the 30 years. So now, what could have been easily done is we could have just had those characters talking and having the 30 years being explained. Or this movie also has this problem where they we need to quickly get through things, but they're cutting the weird sections. And I would say that sometimes there's a lot of, in the last few movies, I think this one and Fallout had a problem with it, where they would do this thing where they would be explaining something and we would have to see it.
Yeah.
So we would get like scenario showings like, oh, well, we could die.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of that only pays, it doesn't really add the weight to it. I know it thinks it's being inventive, but what it's doing is it's dragging out a little too much. You could just have characters having talks like this is the pot, this is the stakes, this is the what we might happen, these are the scenarios. And I think that works better than explaining yourself, then showing it. And certain times we see things multiple times. So a character might be explaining, oh, this is what water does to a body. And we see it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see it again when it happens. So it's like you're getting re-taught constantly. And in the movie, in a couple moments, actually go, hey, this is important for later on. This is a key. And then a couple minutes later, they'll show the guy and they'll go, remember this moment a couple minutes ago?
Yeah.
And we'll see it again. And I'm like,
it was a lot of that. It was a lot.
I understand that the plot might be super convoluted, and I think that is one of the weak moments of the movie. The premise of the movie is the first time the franchise goes a little too sci-fi,
mm-hmm.
to the point where it gets a little wonky and wacky. And I think that is one of the drags of it. And that's very heavy within the first 30 minutes. And also, I know that this movie was affected by a writer strike and a COVID. And so there was multiple years where this kept getting dragged down. And I think that because of that, and also because of maybe how the last movie was didn't do so well in the box office, they might have like changed a lot. So the opening of this movie has a lot to get through.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a character in prison. And it's just like breaking them out. And it's just like shown.
Yeah.
And it happens so fast and so, like the camera is going a little too crazy. Like it just has to get through. We got to get through it. And I will say that another con would be for this is that in particular scenes, the way that they're going, like this character is sexy. Like every prisoner has walked in a tank top. It's like
you're referring to Palm, I guess.
Remember this scar? And we'll flash back to how they got that scar.
Yeah.
I don't think that's necessary, that kind of stuff.
I don't think so either.
And it's like, it feels almost comical. And this happens a lot. There's a lot of editing issues in this movie that I think are a little too jarring and bizarre. Certain characters will have things that happen later on. So we'll see one thing, then we'll see a flashback to something that we didn't see, but it's like, why didn't you just put an order?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of, you're kind of ruining the emotional aspect of what that character's going through.
Yeah.
And it would have been stronger in order.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, there's a lot of that in this movie. And I will say that there's a couple really bizarre choices of acting on a couple people.
Are we thinking of the same people?
Well, the villain is extremely overboard.
Yes, yes, yes.
There's a couple moments of the villain that laugh out loud moments.
Yes, and we sure did. We sure did laugh out loud.
There is a death that feels a little bizarre. Like it felt like what's her face from Batman Dark Knight Rises. Where she just like, a character just goes, dead. And I was just like, oh, that felt weird.
Like, okay.
Yeah. But that's a lot of my cons. What are you thinking?
All right. Well, one of my cons for sure is not properly, like, okay, we talked about flashing back and showing things from the past. But my problem here was that we had a new character introduced. His name, the actor's name is Greg Tarzan Davis, who was also in Maverick with Tom Cruise. He plays Degas. He's the new addition to the team.
Okay.
We don't have any backstory on him. He's just there.
I think he was in the last one as well, and they set him up more in that film. It's kind of hard to remember now because
remember.
We didn't get to rewatch that one before watching this movie.
Yeah, I don't remember him. I need a little more on him.
Yeah, he is very, his role is definitely cut down.
Yeah. I feel like there was a lot of over explaining, like you said, a lot of that bothered me. And there wasn't enough screen time for some people.
The problem with this movie is that they introduce so many character actors that we love.
True. Like, we've got so many. We got
everybody gets a moment. Shea
Whigham, Holt McCallany, Janet McTeer. She's so good. Nick Offerman's in this. You know, like...
When you watch this movie, you're going to recognize everybody. Yeah, you'll recognize
everybody. If you're like a movie geek. And even if you're a TV geek, I mean, there's a lot of people from television shows and stuff. You will definitely know. Yeah. But I feel like they oversaturated this movie with characters where, like, I understand it's all about Ethan and his mission, but, you know, don't introduce a team, if you're not going to give us something. Like, he kind of broke protocol with...
Oh, my God. Ethan Hunt broke protocol?
With Pom's character, I think, that is a little odd for me. We'll talk about that off pod, but okay. I feel like there's some weird shit happening here.
We could talk about Pom for a little bit, because I while she's physically intimidating and she's physically intimidating when she fights, and she's really good at emotional face acting.
Yeah.
She's kind of stellar at that in movies. I really enjoy seeing her in more films. And she's very pretty, so she's like captivating. She grabs
you in.
Yeah, she's captivating. But the problem is, in this movie, she is given corny dialogue.
Yeah, she's given corny dialogue, and she's misused. My problem here mostly is, yes, the stunts were out of control. Okay, and I'm accepting that. I think it was a little over the top. I mean, like, I don't even want to say little, but a lot. It was over the top. I can accept that. But I feel like there's some misuse of actors in this, you know, like some people deserve more screen time than they got.
Then we're talking about cutting the time, and now you're saying add more.
Well, they could have cut the time and then added, you know, instead of prolonging things and showing us flashbacks and shit that, you know, giving us premonitions of what's going to happen and all this crap, just take that out and then give us more character stuff.
Wow. I don't know how it would serve the story, because the story's so much, but I do understand what you're saying, that you kind of want wait for everything to happen. That's one of the problems I have with Mission Impossible movies in general, is that I don't find the emotion that the movie thinks I'm supposed to have. There's a lot of times where I'm supposed to be, oh, I feel the emotion here. And at least the movie tells me that I'm supposed to feel a lot of emotion. But the problem is, I'm not emotionally involved with the franchise. Like, there's never been moments where I was like, oh, no. There's like that. I'm like, oh, that sucks. But I'm never like sad. Like, you know, you've seen movies where a character dies and you're like affected. Like, you're just emotionally affected by it. And for some reason, this long-running franchise, I'm never really emotionally attached when things go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's something that I should be feeling. I feel like I should be more attached to characters.
Yeah, I'm not emotionally attached to them either. Ooh. I mean, I'm kind of... maybe one or two. But overall, I guess that's all I really have for cons, is that I would just add more depth to the characters and just give them something more. But what I am glad about is that they did reconcile some things for me that we didn't really get an explanation on in the last movies. So that was good. We got some answers here. But otherwise, for cons, I'm like, that's it. Just character stuff.
Yeah.
And then that was the one good thing that I threw in there.
Yeah, I think because of maybe they shot a lot of footage and then they had to come back and shoot more footage, I feel like there was definitely effect on the actors. And I questioned some CG maybe on faces at certain points. I can't tell. I feel like there might have been some de-aging or some changing. Sometimes certain people looked a little more drawn. Like out, like a little sickly, a little more so than later on. And I'm wondering if certain things were filmed in a different time period, and then they came back. And I'm like, there's stuff like that, and there's also some questionable edits. A lot of quick edits for things that I feel like sometimes my brain was flying all over the place. I'm like, what's happening? Oh, here, we're flying over here. You know, it's like, there's moments like that. I think those are the weakest elements. But
yeah,
moving on to positives. So, first and foremost, Tom Cruise.
I mean, he's amazing. He scares the shit out of me.
Yeah.
He does. I mean, he's 62, 63 years old filming these stunts. I mean, it's incredible. It's incredible and it's terrifying. I mean, I literally was crawling out of my skin watching this.
There, we saw this in Screen X, and I wanted to specifically see this because I want to see his big stunts on the biggest screen I can get to, you know, around us. And so I figured Screen X would be really good. And I was right, because when you're staring at that front screen, the side screens make you feel like you're a part of what's happening. And there's two giant set pieces in this movie. There's so many big things, but there are two giant, holy crap, these are amazing scenes.
Yeah.
And you feel every dollar spent, and you feel every ounce of Tom Cruise doing the stunts.
Mm-hmm.
And they're phenomenal. And seeing it in Screen X added, there is a scene where the whole screen is what's happening in the scene is rotating.
Mm-hmm.
So with Screen X, it made us feel like we're a part of the rotation.
It definitely did. At one point, I felt like I was lifting out of my seat.
And there's a second time where that also happens, and the added scenes around you. You don't stare at them because I know it's AI, but when you're staring at that front, you feel the motions around you, which is, it really added to it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I know it doesn't always work, but for this movie, these scenes really, really kicked ass on this Screen X.
It did. I mean, I'm glad we saw it in Screen X. The action scenes were out of control. Out of control.
I don't know if, I think I was like kind of mentioning this a little bit, but now, where I'm not emotionally attached to the characters, what I do find fascinating is that I love that in these stunts, we know that our main character is going to make it out from one stunt to go on to the rest of the story, because we know we can go look at our watch and we can go, oh, we still have an hour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you know he's going to make it, you know, these characters. And you still feel like, I don't know what's about to happen, so I'm on the edge of my seat.
Yeah.
And I think that is a strength of these films. Like, even though I know everything's gonna be okay, I feel like I'm gasping. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm completely floored. I'm on the edge of my seat and I don't know what's about to happen. And that is an incredible feat.
Yeah.
You know, you can watch a lot of like action movies where the character is just gonna shoot somebody and you're like, oh, moving on to the next scene. Oh, wow, that stunt is cool, or that fight is cool. But never am I like, whoa, is he going to get wounded? How is he going to make it out? Like, I'm doing that in my head the whole time. Like, how is he going to do this?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is such an incredible feat of the film franchise. And this one in particular, both segments that are the big, big action sequences are mind-blowing in that.
No, I think avenue. I might have said holy shit about a total of 300 times, because I just couldn't believe the things that they were doing. I mean, I know that a lot of it is like over-the-top CG, but just what I know of Tom Cruise, I know that he did a lot of this. And I also read that Isai Morales did his own stunts.
Okay, there was definitely some CG in those areas, but yeah.
Yeah.
You're saying CG, but what you're suggesting is what? Like, because a lot of these scenes that we're talking about, I don't think there was a lot of CG.
I can't really say without spoiling anything. We'll talk off pod about it, but you know, like it seemed like there was a little bit. It was too over the top to be real. Some of the scenes.
Interesting. Yeah.
Too over the top.
I definitely know that like safety harnesses and stuff like that are being CG'd out. Like, I know that, but I do know he did a lot of this stuff. I heard some of the lengths of like what he had to go to. If you've seen the trailer, none of this is spoilers because it's in the trailers, but you know, he's underwater. And I heard that in those sequences that he is wearing a mask, he can't see. So mm-hmm. he had to do these scenes almost blind in certain things. And that means he really went and did these things. And it's just mind blowing when you're sitting in the theater thinking about these things are happening, or at least smaller segments. And then they put CG around. So it's like, if it's underwater, of course they got a CG in the bottom of the ocean. Mm-hmm. He didn't do that. You know what I mean?
Right.
But he is in some kind of water tank doing sequences, and it's incredible, you know? So the same thing for the airplane sequences that are also in the trailer.
Okay. Yeah, we'll talk about it after, but because I can't say anything about...
It's all in the trailer. You can see these things in the trailers, but that's the marketing campaign for these franchises, are these big stunts.
Yeah. I mean, I just think it's just too over the top and massive for some of that to be real. Sometimes though, I wonder like what part of this is Tom Cruise and what part is his stunt double?
Well, I mean, what I hear is he does the stunts.
I mean, he doesn't do them all. He's 63 years old. He could break a hip.
I've heard. I don't know.
There's no fucking way.
A couple things that maybe he couldn't be there for or whatever, like a fight sequence, but. I don't know. From what I hear, he does his own stunts.
I don't know. Well, where would you put this on the ranking of all the films so far?
Well, is that all the positives before we get to that? Or
yeah, I think I had a good time. It was a fun movie.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of cameos that are fantastic. There's a lot of interesting acting. I definitely feel that as a complete story, what it does really brilliantly is it kind of ties back to the whole franchise. And I think that some people might say that's a flaw in the movie, that some of those are just weak callbacks. Mm-hmm. I actually think they play really well in this film. I think a lot of the callbacks are pretty well done.
Yeah, and if this is the last film, then I think they did that pretty well.
Yeah, it's definitely, I think it's a good way to leave if we had to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But with that being said, I definitely really, really enjoyed this film. And I have so many things that, like, this is a theater experience. Like, without a doubt, I feel I can't imagine having the same exact response to it on a smaller screen than a big theater experience.
No, it wouldn't hit the same. You have to see it on a big screen.
Like, you have to check this out in the theater.
Yeah, even if you don't choose IMAX or ScreenX, see it in a theater anyway, because it's you have to. It's something. It's like a sight to behold.
Yeah, I think so. And if I had to give it a score out of 10, I think that it's still not my favorite. I think I still enjoyed the last one and Rogue Nation as my favorites, but I definitely think this is another 7 out of 10.
Yeah, I'm giving it a 7.
Like, I really enjoy this. If I had to just rate what he's willing to do in these movies, then he gets, like, a 10. Like, he gets a 10.
I mean, if you're going by that, my whole score would be boosted up to an 8.
I would be like, if I was just rating the stunts and the effects and what they did, it's all 10s. But if I had to... the full package, the movie, the things that are happening in it, it's a 7.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed myself. I didn't think it was groundbreaking writing. I think that's a thing with some of these franchises. When they go a little too in one direction, I think it kind of like lessens it a little bit. And so the sci-fi aspect of it feels a little, it doesn't feel like this franchise, but still enjoyed how we had to get there. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that story is strong enough to do it. I think that this definitely has that feeling of Fallout, which I also give a 7. In Fallout, I feel like the stunts are the main focus, and then they were like, how do we make a story around it? And I feel like the same thing goes here. There is so many big set pieces and ideas. How do we get to them?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that driving force between there is a little convoluted, a little wonky, but still a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So if I'm putting it in order of this franchise, I definitely think this is probably my fourth favorite.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah. We have to finish watching the other ones because I don't remember every detail, but, yeah. I do want to go back and watch the other. We're missing what? Two?
One.
Or one more. Okay. Yeah. Oh, I fell asleep during one of them. But yes. Anyway, yeah, I would say go see this. Support your movie theaters and watch it on the big screen and have a good time, because it definitely should be seen on a big screen.
And I feel like this kind of filmmaking, I feel like this kind of person who really wants to make films to enjoy and have fun watching, I think these are the films we got to support a little bit more. I know it's like everybody's like, oh, you know, indie films are the ones. Absolutely, of course. But this is like old school filmmaking. People going hell, just balls to the wall to make something special mm-hmm. and fun. And I feel like that is also great. You know, you can get a lot of CG explosion movies and stuff like that. And I get that that's a popcorn movie. But this is something I just think it's special. I find like the Mission Impossible movies to be very special. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just such a creative thing that I feel like you need to check these out, you know?
Yeah, for sure. So
especially Tom Cruise and himself, who really just really loves cinema. Like, it just, I don't know.
Yeah, he does.
That's you just me tell. Gushing.
Yep. Anyways. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Hit us up on social media. Just Another Movie Night. That's Scott, and I am at the Crafty Misfit. And tell us what you think of the new Mission Impossible movie.
Yep. All right. Until next time, everybody. Thanks for listening. Have a good one. Bye.